We have had a lot of different experiences at Maywood for Mother's Day, and you guys have walked through a lot of those different days with us. And today is another one that, you know, we'll never forget. This is a different sort of day. And, you know, Mother's Day is one of, you know, a landmark day for us normally at Maywood. Normally, it's a very big deal. And not that it's not a big deal today, but it is just, it's a very strange season that we're in with all of this Corona stuff. And, you know, that Ephesians 5 verse that we were talking about way when we were deciding, you know, back, I think in March about what to do, you know, making the most of every opportunity. Like, we believe at Maywood that Jesus prepares good works for us to do. And so even today with Mother's Day and all this strangeness, I wholeheartedly believe that, like, Jesus has prepared good works for each of us to do. And my role as your coach here at Maywood is to equip you guys to use the gifts that God's given you. So without further ado, I'm going to lead us in prayer. And then I'm really excited about today's message. We've got two incredible moms that I interviewed this week. They're not going to be here with me, but I'm going to be quoting them a lot. We're going to get some awesome wisdom from some moms today. So if you'll join me in prayer. Jesus, I thank you so much just for what Chrissy said. And there are so many different journeys at Maywood. I can picture in my mind praying with Louise Douglas after Chrissy had shared one Sunday at Maywood. And I just know we have such a community of people at Maywood and of moms. And I pray today, even as we're distanced, that you would once again connect us and that you would help us today to do the good that you have prepared for us to do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're in Ephesians chapter 1. We're reading through the book of Ephesians. And today we've got just a couple verses to talk on, but I'm excited for it. As I was reading these verses, you know, I thought sometimes with big holidays, we will jump out of the series we're in and we will do a special Sunday just for that holiday. And I'd actually thought, you know, I felt the freedom to do that. I thought we could do any passage that we wanted to in the Bible for Mother's Day. But I was drawn to these two verses because they reminded me of something that I think moms are very naturally good at, that we all could improve in a lot. And so let me read these two verses and then I'll talk about what I'm getting at there. So Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 through 16, we just had that opening that we've been focusing on about all these amazing things we can praise God for, all these things that God is giving us through Jesus. And the final one we talked about is that he's given us his own presence through the Holy Spirit, guaranteeing this amazing inheritance. So all of that. And then he says, for this reason, since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. So he's super excited about this group of Christians that he's heard this good report about. And the good things he's heard is that they have faith in Jesus and that they love God's people, right? And may that be true of us at Maywood. And, you know, at Maywood is kind of a strange phrase, but Maywood Church is a group of people who join together because we believe in this vision that Jesus is our Savior and that we're helping people find new life in Jesus. And we believe that Jesus has given us gifts and that we're supposed to use them together to shine like Jesus. So that's what it means to be the body of Maywood, is we're a group of people who believe in Jesus and try to live that out. He's saying, though, you know, this defining thing, I would love for this to be true about Maywood, that we would be known for our faith in Jesus and our love for each other and all God's people, that we would give grace to other Christians, that we give, you know, mercy and think highly of them and speak highly of them whenever possible, and that we would work together with other Christians, too. So that's kind of the first verse, but the second verse, what I really want to land on. I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. And I was reading Coach Bob's blog earlier this week on Wednesday. I was talking about it on Facebook, and he had this blog about sins of omission, about things that we should be doing that we're not. And one of them was about all these people, or some of them were about these people we should be praying for that perhaps we've not been. And it was very convicting to me because I don't have an extensive daily, every day I'm praying for this person and this person and this person and this person, and it's consistent. And when I was reading this passage, he says, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. And when I read that, I thought about, you know, who am I like constantly remembering in prayer? And it was challenging to me. I thought I could grow in that a lot. And a lot of, for me, when I think I need to grow in an area, a lot of times my mind goes to, well, who is good at that? And maybe I'll have a conversation with them. You know, that's a great step to take. I would advise that, you know, when you see a weakness in yourself, find that strength in someone else and talk to them about it, you know. And so I did that. And for me, when I think about who is great at remembering people in prayer constantly, for day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, there's one category of people that immediately jump out in my mind, and that's moms. I think about who is going to pray for people the most consistently, day in and day out, no matter what is happening. I instantly think moms. And this is not to say every single mom is better than every single everyone else, but what I did think is all of us today, whether you're a mom or not, I think we could grow to be more kind of traditional mom-like in praying the way that they pray normally for their kids. And so I talked to a couple moms, came to my mind. Obviously, my own mom is foremost in my mind, kind of defined motherhood for me. But then I also immediately thought of Pam Gossie, Eric Gossie's mom. And you know, she's one of our own at Maywood. A lot of you probably know her. And I want to start with Pam's story and then go on to my mom's. And it's a very interesting look at two different perspectives here. Because so real quick kind of summary, bird's eye. You know, if you know Eric's story, Eric had a very wild life, and we'll talk about it, but a little bit, you know, not a ton of detail, but until he was 40. And so Pam's experience was an experience that a lot of people at Maywood's moms have had, of watching their kids go through addiction and that struggle. And it's this gut-wrenching journey that Pam went on. I mean, incredibly hard. And then, you know, my mom has a very different experience, a real stable home for me and my siblings. And she was trying to raise us, right, her and my dad, from the get-go, and had a very, I would say, a very mature prayer life for my whole time that I was alive, and really taught me a ton about prayer. So you're going to get kind of two different perspectives here. I think both are going to be inspiring for you wherever you're at, whether you're a mom or not. You're getting this perspective of how do you pray for somebody even when they're messing up for years and years and years. And how do you pray from somebody that, you know, to get some wisdom from somebody that I would say is great at it? Like, get some wisdom about, like, how do we do that? So both of these moms I really respect. So here's a little bit about Pam's story. Pam says, you know, women are so different. Once we fall in love with the kids, or with kids, that's it. So I'm going to be, you know, throwing out a lot of quotes from Pam today. I hate that I can't just be present with these two ladies to show you their faces through this, but that's what she was telling me over the phone. Women are different. Once we fall in love with kids, that's it. And you know, Jesus uses this analogy of like a hen wants to gather her chicks. Jesus had longed to gather the people of Jerusalem to him. You know, we get this idea that Jesus could even see a motherly love and say, I have that sort of love for my people. I want them to come to me and I want to take care of them. And so Pam's experienced that, you know, this just incredible love. And we can go to Jesus, whether we're a mom or not, we can go to Jesus and say, Jesus, help me to be like you, to have that same love of that mother hen, or to even have that same love that you gave Pam for Eric. And let me talk a little bit more about this. So Pam talking about Eric before he changed, this is a quote, you know, it was awful. And Eric right here is saying, thank you, love my mom. Mama, thank you for praying for me for all those years. And it was awful. I prayed all the time. He was killing me. I walked through my life praying. You know, I also talked to Eric a little bit about this. Eric told me things Pam didn't even say about how his mom would get physically sick when Eric would be, you know, sentenced to prison and stuff like that. That she would have these physical symptoms. It was weighing down on her so much. I mean, I think she literally meant she said this to me multiple times, like, he was killing me. Like, the pressure that she felt about his life was overwhelming her even physically. And she said that most everyone turned their backs on Eric, that, you know, she was about the only one who would visit him in prison. And in that way, I think we see an image of how, you know, Jesus doesn't give up on us even when everyone else has. Like, Pam was not okay with the way Eric was living, but she kept showing him love day in and day out. She never stopped loving him. And I think in that way, she reflects Jesus. But she also talks about she was super upset with him. And I think, honestly, that could reflect Jesus as well. And she said she used to lay awake at night, not just once, but often. She'd lay awake at night, and she would be planning his funeral. She was so worried about him, and she thought he was such a mess. And her heart is so wrapped up, she can't sleep, and her mind winds up landing on, I need to plan his funeral because there's no way he's going to make it. She didn't know what to pray. Pam, you know, wasn't very familiar with the Bible. She did know the Lord's Prayer, so she would pray that over and over and over. And she was kind of drawn to the Bible, so she would just open up the Bible and pick a random spot and try to just pray something from the Bible. But she wasn't very involved in a church or anything like that, but she kept praying and asking for God's help. And she did have a couple of friends. She said that she basically didn't tell anybody about all this burden that she had on her. She carried it by herself, but she had a couple of friends, one close friend, and then her sister-in-law, Eric's aunt, who was a strong Christian. And so she would go to this aunt, talk to her about Eric, and this aunt never gave up on Eric either, even though she's not her, you know, Eric's mom. She would be constantly praying as well. And Pam specifically mentions, like, being in the car often with this lady, the sister-in-law, and then praying together, and it being such a help to Pam. So we can just hit pause for, like, our main point for a minute. Like, if you're going through something hard, don't do it alone. You know, like, if you're going through something hard, don't do it by yourself. Call someone up on the phone and even, you know, go for a walk with them or figure out some way to not go through hard things by yourself. If you don't know who to call, start praying every day, Jesus, put someone in my life who I can trust, who can pray with me. Because we need that. Because all this praying for Eric, it leads somewhere, obviously. That's why Eric's watching right now. So, she said she loved that kid. This is cool. I loved that kid. The day of his birth was the happiest day of my life, but he put me through it. Okay, and a lot of moms at Maywood can probably understand that. But when she talks about the happiest day of her life was Eric's birth, but then she went on to tell me about the worst day of her life. She remembers the day Eric came to her house, skin and bones. She'd been in the neighborhood helping another neighbor with a major issue. And Eric walks up skin and bones with a carry-on bag with a little dog in it, which, of course, if you know Eric, Eric loves dogs. And so, of course, he is at kind of a rock-bottom moment, but he's still got a little dog there with him. And she knew, she had tried everything, and she knew it was time for tough love with Eric. And this just broke her heart. And she told Eric, I can't help you, and you can't stay with me. And I'm going to call the police if you try to stay here. And it broke her heart. I mean, even if you talk to Pam about it, I wish I cannot do it justice. This breaks her heart. She says it's the worst day of her life. Eric also says it's the worst day of his life. He never thought his mom would say such a thing to him. And so it's literally the rock bottom for Eric. And as many of you know in AA, sometimes it takes that having nothing left moment, that tough love from someone, to say, I have to change. And so Eric went to Maple Street House, and he did change. And his mom, you know, talks about now, like, that was the worst day of my life, but also my best day. And Eric talks that same way, because even though it's so painful, it was a start of a new life for Eric. And Pam told me, you know, it wasn't just that I saved Eric. She's like, actually, in a way, Eric saved me. Because, you know, Pam was very nervous when she started hearing good things about Eric. She thought, is this too good to be true? And she remembers when she finally was willing to go and visit him at Maple House, because she's so afraid about that he's going to go back out. She finally goes and visits him. He starts quoting the Bible to her. starts talking about all the stuff that she was like just shocked about. And she said, you know, praise God that Eric has changed. And he's so giving now. I mean, she talks about all these years they've had together in his sobriety. She talked about all the influence from Pastor Bob or Coach Bob and others at Maywood. And she said, and he needs to stay plugged in. You know, very motherly, like Eric needs to stay plugged in. And that's true for all of us. If you're at Maywood, like we need to stay plugged in. If you have a mom who is alive today, she would want you to stay plugged in, knowing that this group is good for you. And she said, I just couldn't give up on him. I just couldn't. You know, so even though she had this tough love moment, it's not like her heart ever left. And the awesome thing is, too, that she talked to me, though, about because Eric changed and grew in God, she was inspired. And, you know, she was baptized at Maywood. She's at Maywood all the time now. With us, however we're meeting. And you know, God has become so big in her life because of Eric. So like her motherly love for Eric, she wouldn't let go of him. She kept trying to help him. But also because Jesus reached into Eric, then it flowed through back towards Pam. And so it's this beautiful story, right? And I know not every story is like that. There are a lot of moms who pray and pray and pray, and their sons don't make the choices that Eric made. Eric still had to choose to change. But I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that today, that I really believe Jesus, whether you had that sort of mom in your life or not, Jesus is that sort of person. That Jesus loves you better than any mom even could love you. He will never stop loving you. He may have this moment where he says, you can't do that anymore. You can't even be with me if you keep doing that. But he's always, as long as we've got breath, he is willing to come right back to us when we're ready to change. And Pam was so overjoyed when Eric was really ready to change. And Jesus will be so overjoyed if you're ready to change or somebody else is, right? So big takeaway on Pam's story is don't go through things by yourself. Pray with other people. But also, like, keep praying. Most people, I bet, gave up on Eric. But Pam kept praying. She didn't even hardly know how to pray, but she kept praying. And look at what's happened in Eric's life. If you know Eric, I mean, it's just incredible. I don't want Eric to get this big head, but it's awesome, you know? And it's so different. So I want to shift us to our second testimony today. My mom is watching. I just saw her. A little icon on the top. And so my mom, Ronnie Taylor, Veronica Taylor, I had a conversation with her, and it, you know, I've got like kind of bullet points to throw out of just like, here's advice. Here's some coaching from my mom on how to pray. And if you want to take notes, there's going to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, so we're going to kind of run through it. But it's some awesome stuff there. So, and I need to go, I actually left. I was reading quotes here. I've left my Bible up around the corner. So hang on just a second. The first thing we're going to look at is Psalms chapter 5, verse 1 through 3. I'm going to go grab it. Hang on just a second. Sorry about that. So Psalms chapter 5, verse 1. And my mom has this little calendar of verses that'll come up. And she's often connecting with God through those verses. And this just came up the other day. And she said, this really kind of sums up. And then Becca's putting it right there. I could have just read off the screen too, but I've got it right here. So, but she said, this kind of sums up my attitude towards prayer is what she was talking to me about this. And so she says, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my sighing. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God. For to you I pray. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. And my mom said, actually, she likes the King James at the very end of that verse or that passage. The way King James says it, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. So instead of saying in expectation, like I'll look up. Like I'll look up to you, like expecting something back. And so kind of my first point from hearing my mom talk about that is my mom prays with expectation. And I think these verses right here, sometimes I like to read a little bit in Psalms to set my heart to pray. And right here, you've got this great kind of motherly tone. If you want to pray as a great mom would pray, I think here is kind of a primer. Read Psalms 5, 1 through 3, and look at God with expectation. You're not talking to the wall. You're not talking to the ceiling. You are talking to a God, to the God, who cares for you. Okay, so pray with expectation. A lot of times we just kind of throw out a prayer and then we move on. But if you think about these moms, a lot of times they can't force their kids, you know, once they become adults, to do the things that they know that they need to do. And so you see these moms kind of desperate in prayer for their kids to do the right thing or to change or to be blessed or some burden, you know, the mom can't overcome. They go to God with like a, you're my only hope, change. And I think like that's a good way to pray. But like, I'm putting my expectations on prayer. I'm putting my heart into prayer as how we're going to change the situation. What I have to give is prayer. So praying with expectation was the first thing I kind of gleaned from her. And this is going to kind of be scattered a little bit. We were just talking on the phone. But another thing was sharing your prayers with your kids. So this is, if you've got kids in the house, if you don't have kids in the house, think about people you're trying to influence, right? If you're sponsoring somebody or you're living with some other folks or you've got some guys at work and you're trying to figure out, you know, I talked to one of my friends yesterday. And he's like, you know, I need to get better about sharing Jesus at work. And, you know, he wasn't saying, he's not, you know, cussing like crazy or talking crazy at work, but he's not really getting Jesus into it. And here's a good example. So Romans 2, 21, kind of the very first part of that passage, it says, you then who teach others, do you not teach yourselves? And this is a passage about not being judgmental, realizing you need help too. But my mom took it in this way of, share your prayer life with your kids. Don't just try to teach your kids how to pray with like a, you do this, you do this, you do this. You need to show them how you're praying. And she's like, the reality is like you might be up earlier than them or they may not see you pray all the time. So you need to drop it into conversation. It was what my mom was saying. Like when you're talking with your kids, you need to say, I'm praying about this thing. You need to say, I prayed for this and it happened. Or even, don't be afraid of, I mean, this is what my mom said, like, I prayed for this and it didn't happen. Just start talking to your kids about what you're praying about. I mean, God can decide to answer it or not, but start a conversation with them so they see, oh, it's not just that my mom is telling me I should pray. My mom is a person who prays. And it was amazing. Yesterday, I was talking to my mom about prayer. I realized all these things that I do in prayer or know in prayer. I mean, not that I'm great at it, but I realized my mom planted so much of that in me. Like, I don't even realize that I learned it from her until we talk about it. Because, you know, with kids, we were at such a young age, you pick up so much by copying your parents. But the reality is, even if you're at work, and you could just start putting it into conversation. You know, I prayed for this, and then it happened. Or thank you, Jesus, it's an answer to my prayers. You don't have to go over the top or jam it down people's throats. But you can build it into conversation, or even like with the kids, we'll stop and pray for things. And you could stop and pray for people at work. People are rare to say, no, I don't want prayer. Okay. Sometimes people don't want to talk about Jesus, but if they bring up that like their kid's in trouble or something like that, and you say, hey, can I pray for your kid about that? Most people will say yes. So talk about prayer more. Third one, she talked about praying for little things, or what other people might view as little things. My mom and I both pray for all sorts of strange stuff. You know, I'll pray that there'll be chorizo tacos at the place that I'm going or whatever. You know what I mean? Like nothing is off limits. Nothing's too small to pray about. And she told me this story. She said, you know, God is our good father. He's like a good parent. He wants to give good gifts to his kids. And so she said, go to God with that same sort of attitude that you have towards your kids. Go to God, like, please give me this thing that I want. Please help me with this thing. God loves to give you good things. And so she quoted some scripture to me. She said the beginning of Ephesians 6:18 says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions and with all kinds of prayers and requests. So she said all sorts of stuff. There's nothing off limits that you can't ask God about or talk to God about. And James 4:2, the second part of that verse says, you do not have because you do not ask God. And it goes on to talk a little bit about our motives and needing to have right motives and stuff. But my mom quoted that verse to me. And then she brought up this frog or turtle. She couldn't remember. But she said when I was about 3 years old, she remembered because we used to go to Raytown First Baptist when I was a really little kid. And then we went to First Baptist in Blue Springs when I was a little older. So it was when I was real young. I was probably like 3 years old. And they were praying at church. And she brought up a praise report at church. She said we had prayed for either a turtle or a frog that I had caught, which was really common for me as a kid. I was always trying to catch turtles and frogs and bring them home and keep them for a little while. And something had gotten hurt. Some animal that I was trying to help had gotten hurt. And so mom and I were praying for this animal and it got better. And my mom was just so thankful that it got better. And she said at church, like, thank you, Jesus, for answering prayers about frogs. And, you know, the pastor had said, like, amen. You know, but God does answer these really little things. And now as a dad, I could see it from, like, the other side, too. Because, like, Sequoia prayed the other day for a bird to move into this birdhouse we had put up for her. They each got a birdhouse. And the very next day, a bird moved into it. He's been named Nettie Buttercup because that's a character in a book that she likes. But, So Nettie Buttercup moved into this house, this little birdhouse. I was super excited for the bird. You know, I was looking for it the next day. I mean, I like birds, but it was more, I was super excited for my child to be able to learn that God answers prayers. But you have to open the door for God in that. I mean, God can help us all the time. God can give us things all the time. But God cannot answer your prayers until you pray. You know what I mean? Like, God could give you something good whenever he wants. But literally, God can't answer prayer until you pray something, okay? So there's a two-way street there. God always says no sometimes, but, like, we got to open the door. And especially if you open the door on little things, like, it gives all these opportunities to grow in prayer. So whether you've got kids or people you're just trying to influence for Jesus, start praying for little stuff. That would be a big advice point of my mom. My mom talked about praying with us as kids at night. It was huge for us in our spiritual development, and I can attest to that, but it was also really special for her. So I don't know when they started, probably when I was really little, but even when I was, you know, 17 years old, still living at home, my mom and I, my dad worked nights, but my mom and I and my dad, somebody would pray with me, whoever was home or whatever, someone would pray with me every single night. I got really used to this idea of, like, talking to God about the daily stuff going on. And it was something my mom talks about, like, just treasuring, like, how special that got as we got older. So maybe you don't have kids in your house right now, but who could you pray with every day that would become a treasure of yours? Like, something you would look back on and think, I'm so glad I got to pray with that person. And I love Jennifer's quoting right here, Jennifer Carman, about, you know, it can change the kids' perspectives if you start praying with them. So that's a great idea too there, Jennifer. Final thing I want to throw out. I don't have a clock right, or I do right behind me. We've got about 10 minutes until noon. So final thing I want to point out, and you may want to write these things down, or Becca may put it here in the margins, but my mom was really big on praying just straight prayers from the Bible and just putting my siblings and I's name in the blanks. And whether you're praying for kids or praying for other people in your life, if you're thinking, like, okay, I want to pray for people every day, you could pray, like, hey, Jesus, you probably don't pray that, but, like, dear Jesus, please help Johnny or something like that. You could pray like that, but you also, it's very powerful to take something from Scripture and pray that over your kids. So four scriptures that my mom would pray over me and my siblings, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 through 19, so that's right after what we read today. That's what we'll be talking about next week in our sermon. Ephesians 3, 16 through 19. It also has this great blessing. Philippians 3, 16 through 19, another example of a blessing. And Becca's posting it there for us. Colossians 1, 9 through 12 is another one. And my mom said these are all over Scripture, though. And she constantly quoted Scripture to me as we were talking, which is just a testament to how she's planted it in her heart. I'm going to go back to the Colossians passage, but one other scripture just came to my mind real quick. She would talk about these Isaiah passages. You know, we're talking about God being our shepherd and how he gently leads those who have young. And you know, mom took a lot of comfort from that. Like, even as she had, you know, kids, she's trying to, you know, being a mom is very tough. I'm sure I don't even understand all the toughness of it. And God is gentle as he leads moms. And yeah, so that was just encouragement my mom had. That was how it just kind of came to me. But I did want to throw out on that encouragement note, Donna Seals mentioned in Marcus's Sunday school class this morning, she started this Facebook group called Raspberry Corner. And she said, here's what she said, encouraging is pretty much my goal in life. I have a mother's group online where I try to encourage other mothers because we have a tendency to think we aren't good at this mothering thing. So maybe you've heard about Pam Gossi, who in my mind is like this hero mom. I don't think she thinks of herself like that at all. But she walked such a tough road, and she made it to the other side by God's grace, right, with her son. And then my mom's another hero of mine, of like my mom has taught me so much about what does it mean to have a relationship with Jesus? What does it mean to put your faith and your trust in Jesus? And so maybe you hear these stories though, and my mom would not feel like she's a hero, and Pam would not feel like she's a hero, but maybe you're hearing that moms or other people and you're thinking like, I don't have a mom like that, or I'm not a mom like that, or I could never be a person that would pray like that. If you're a mom, go to Raspberry Corner with Donna Seals and check that out. So if you're not a mom, get connected with some other people though. Start praying for somebody, but find someone else to start praying for you too. And if you want a place to start praying, so just the other day, last week, I think I was talking about these little New Testaments and walk around with them and read them. So I grabbed this one. It was an older one that I had, and I was sitting on this little stone thing about a mile or so from my house. And I came, this is an old one, old Bible that I had. I came across this bookmark, you know, and my parents gave this to me on January 10th, 1998. I don't know what was even going on January 10th, but it says, to Jacob, love always mom and dad, Colossians 1, 9 through 12. And it's probably reversed for you guys. So I have that. I've kept that this whole time. And even before I talked to my mom, even before I came up, actually it was kind of guiding me to what to talk about with this sermon, I went to that passage, saw it was this prayer, and then got this picture of my mom and my dad back in 1998. I was like a seventh grader, then praying this prayer over me. And it's an awesome prayer. When you read it, you're just like, yes, I want people to pray that for me, and I want to start praying it for other people. And it's very simple. You know, like this is not, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't have to be superwoman to start doing these things, to say, I'm going to pray this prayer that's in the Bible, and I'm going to pray it for somebody that God's put on my heart. I'm going to pray it for the guy I'm sponsoring. I'm going to pray it for my boss at work. I'm going to pray it for the couple across the street. I'm going to pray it for, you know, Sam and Josie Moberg, because I see how God has blessed them, you know, as they're leading us in worship today. So here's that prayer, and Becca may be able to put it right there for you to read along. What I want us to do when we close out here in just a minute, we're going to pray this, and I'm going to give a little pause when we pray it. And I want you to pick somebody and pray it for them, right? I've picked somebody, but I'm not going to say their name. But I've got somebody that God's laid on my heart that, like, I'm going to start praying this for. So, so here we go. Let's pray it. Colossians 1, we're going to start at the very end of verse 9 and then go to verse 12. And it says, we continually ask God to fill with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please God in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to God the Father, who is qualified to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. So it's this great prayer about people taking hold of who God made them to be and thanking God for what God's already done in their life. That's a great way to guide our prayers. My mom and my dad prayed that for me, and then it touched me. Now, I mean, 1998 was a long time ago. You know, it's 22 years ago. That still touches me because they wrote that little card to me. And I think, like, what, you know, write somebody a card who you're praying about even. So last thing before we close out today, It's a great Mother's Day. Do, if you have a mom who is alive, even if there's some bad blood between you or something, talk to Jesus about how can I show love? How can I show honor to my love, to my mom today? It's very biblical things to do. And yeah, God, Jesus will guide you in that. So, but for us at Maywood, we were really hoping to meet again on the 17th. We'd originally talked about the shutdown going, you know, just to the, through the 15th, I think is what we talked about. We are praying as a staff, what can we do moving forward? And as I've been praying, I just, that verse in Ephesians, make the most of every opportunity. There are a lot of opportunities up ahead of us, Maywood. You know, this idea of getting in very small groups sounds like this huge limitation when you first hear like these different recommendations. But then my mind has started racing the last few days. Just this morning, I woke up, I went for a walk, and I normally would be thinking about the sermon, but I was just talking to God about all this different stuff we could do. You know, thinking about like, oh man, if I do a podcast, could I equip some people in this or that way? What would it look like to start doing like AA meetings in people's garages where, you know, if we got a bunch of Maywood people that live on the same block, could we, you know, could we have a whole bunch of AA meetings on the same block, but they're all just 10 people or less in each garage? Could we start having Maywood people do little, I talked to some people at other churches who they're doing these little fireside chats where they have a bonfire and they invite their neighbors to just come and have conversations. And the point of it really is to get close to your neighbors. If you're not close to your neighbors, like how could God ever really work through you? So it's not even, the way they're doing it, it's not even exactly a Bible study. It's just, let's talk, let's be real, and I'm gonna be real about my connection with Jesus, but I'm not gonna force it on people. And they're seeing people become Christians through this. I mean, it takes time. This is not like it happens 1 week, but my guess is we have some time. And I've, as I've been thinking about these vision passages we have at Maywood, Matthew, you know, 28, 19, or 18 through 20, and Ephesians 4, 7 through 13, I've thought about, like, Jesus has got all authority. Jesus can get the job done through us, of helping other people find new life in him. Like, it doesn't take a break. And we don't even, there's no rule about where we have to meet to carry out the Great Commission. Like, Jesus is not bound by us having to be in a certain spot. And so my mind is really like opening up to like, what could it look like? I want to lead you guys towards that, but we're not, I'm not alone and I'm not the Holy Spirit. Like, each of us has the Holy Spirit. Please join me and start praying and start daydreaming and even strategizing. Like, what could I do to help other people find new life in Jesus? What could I do to use my gifts to shine like Jesus? What could I do to use my gifts with other people to shine like Jesus? And there's all sorts of stuff already happening. You know, Jan Stoller put some stuff out there about, you know, Donnie and Shalene and some other folks. They did this little worship thing in her front yard. You know, just great stuff is happening, but it's just a little bit right now. And I want this like snowball effect where like we're all engaging independence or you know, our neighborhoods for Jesus. You know, like God is giving us opportunities. And even though it's not like plan A for any of us, Jesus has prepared good stuff for us to do. And our plan A is not the best plan typically anyways. You know, like God's plan is always best. And now we've got this clean slate of like, Jesus, we don't really know what to do. We're coming to you with humility and an open heart. Like, what do you want us to do? And so please be praying about that, be thinking about it, and start stuff. You don't need my permission to start talking to your neighbors about Jesus or start showing Jesus at work or start worshiping in your garage. You know, so we're going to figure this out together, but you don't have to hesitate. So let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for Maywood. I thank you for all the Christians in Independence. Every church is trying to tackle this in their own way. But none of us are alone. And Jesus, I pray that you would bless every church, every group of Christians in Independence and around the world. I pray you bless us to carry out your Great Commission. You're going to use us in different ways, but I pray together you would bring new life to Independence through your people. And I pray specifically for Maywood that you would open our eyes to take hold of what you have given us and to shine for you. God, I pray you'd use our garages and our driveways, that you'd use our gifts, that you'd use everything we have to shine for you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. And I'm excited for the weeks to come, even though I really don't know what is even going to happen. I know Jesus is going to do awesome things. So thank you guys very much. And if you need something, you can contact us at Maywood. Or, you know, we've got a lot of stuff going through that Facebook feed, but you can also hit that little contact button. So we love you guys. Happy Mother's Day. God bless you.